Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, we've talked about health reform today and the contentious reconciliation process in Congress. We've talked about Governor Patterson's troubles, and we talked about American history through the eyes of Henry Louis Gates. So it's time to talk about curling. Yes, for the past 10 days, the winter sport of curling has been on the minds and television sets of Olympic viewers around the world. Sports stars like New York Met Jason Bay are fans, and it even made it onto The Simpsons.
It's called curling. Players slide the heavy stones toward the circle, or house, as teammates control the direction and speed of the stone by sweeping in front of it with a special broom.
Marge, it's perfect for both of us. It's got bowling for me and sweeping for you.
The actual USA team has been in the news too, but maybe better known for their Stephen Colbert interview than their win-loss record. But with roots in 16th century Scotland, curling is steeped in tradition. This belongs to the Henry Louis Gates Show. But with the website address curlingrocks.net, can the U.S. Curling Association take itself too seriously? Today, two curlers, actual curlers, take a break from throwing stones and sweeping ice to talk to us about the local curling scene and the Olympic buzz. Dean Gemmel, president of the Plainfield Curling Club in New Jersey and host of the Curling Show podcast, and Jeff Lisak, president of the Ardsley Curling Club in Westchester, join us. Dean and Jeff, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, Brian.
So for people who know absolutely nothing about this, which is probably most of our listeners, Jeff, what's the object of the game?
Well, your team of four is trying to outdo the other team of four by sliding a 42-pound block of granite about 40 yards down a sheet of ice to get closer to a button, which is the center of the concentric rings on the far end. It's very similar to bocce.
Dean, why is this fun?
Why is it fun? The Jeff's description didn't sell it for you, did it? Well, I'll tell you what, I think when you get into curling and you begin to understand the nuances of it, there's a strategic element involved, and there's moments of drama, much like in a baseball game, where we know something important has happened or is about to happen. And then the other thing is, I think people, once they get into it, they realize it's considerably more athletically challenging than they might have originally imagined. Doesn't mean that we don't have members from 8 to 80, but it is an athletic and physical challenge at the same time.
And listeners, we have 10 minutes for your curling questions. Have the Olympics inspired you to pick up a broom and hit the ice with a 42-pound stone for the first time, or if there's something that you're curious about after watching this on CNBC or wherever, give us a call for Jeff and Dean at 212-433-9692. That's our on-air number, not our pledge number. Anything you always wanted to know about curling but had no one to ask, 212-433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Coincidentally, Jeff, we were going to have you on anyway today, and then we saw that front page article in the Times that notes that Wall Streeters have become curling fans in big numbers during these Olympics. For the accident of history that curling is on the business channel CNBC during these games, would you expect Wall Street stockbrokers to otherwise be your core demographic?
Maybe if not a core demographic, it's one of those why not. It's something that you can do on the weekends. You don't have to drive hours to a mountain, stand on lift lines. It's an exciting, fun sport to learn. It's challenging, and we're seeing overwhelming amount of numbers, not only Wall Streeters, but a lot of professionals from all walks of life.
Except on a day like today, where can you go curling in Westchester? Let's see, Dean, you're with the Plainfield Curling Club in New Jersey, Plainfield, New Jersey. Can you really do this in New Jersey, in Plainfield?
You certainly can, Brian. Our club is called the Plainfield Curling Club. We're actually located in South Plainfield, New Jersey, right off of 287, hard by 287. We have two sheets of curling ice and about 170 members right now. And we're having an open house on Sunday that we're expecting a very large crowd at. With two sheets of ice, we should probably have a big jump in membership this year with the Olympics, and we'll probably get close to operating at or beyond capacity shortly here. We have a lot of interest in it, and two sheets is about as small a club as you can have. Jeff's club up there in Ardsley has three sheets.
Walter in Manhattan has a little curling in pop culture history. Right, Walter?
Yeah, I mean, the movie Help is a big scene, and, you know, up to that point, nobody really knew what it was outside of that, you know, that sport. And all of a sudden, people saying, wow, who's doing this? The Beatles are playing this. And it was, you know, that's how I was curious. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of other people were, too. So, you know, it's just a part of, like you say, a part of pop culture. The Beatles played curling in the movie Help.
Curling in the movie Help. Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Brian. I was just curious what it's like to be a member of one of the clubs. I mean, do you guys have leagues? Do people play year-round? I've been watching it every single night and getting addicted to it, and I really was interested to know what it's like to actually do it.
Jeff, want to take that?
Sure. Our season runs from October through the end of March, so it's not year-round at our club because it gets too prohibitively expensive to keep the ice running during the summer. And, yeah, we have leagues that run virtually every night and afternoons on weekends, much like a bowling league. I mean, you're signing up for Wednesday night men's league, and you're there on a team every Wednesday night, and you have maybe a couple of extras where you can, you know, come in and out on a weekly basis. But tremendous amount of fun. You meet people from all walks of life, and you get some exercise.
Marion in Manhattan, a fellow curler, Marion?
Yes, our family was a member of the Chicago Curling Club some decades ago, and we came in second out of a 32-family Bonspiel in Chicago. And from there, after 3 years of curling, I took up lawn bowling. Bowling on the green is the summer version of curling. The same sized rinks, 15 feet wide, 120 feet down. Mm. And but you're instead
of how do you push the stone?
You don't have a stone. It's a bowl, actually, about a 4-pound bowl, which is weighted more on one side, and it draws into the jack, which is like a billiard ball. So instead of bowling, curling to a bullseye, the same strategy applies. And I was thrilled to find it, because you play that from April or May until it's time to curl again.
How about that? And are there differences, Marion, in your experience between the men's game and the women's game when it comes to curling? And I should say that the women's finals are on tonight for the Olympics, the men's tomorrow. Just like there are some differences between, you know, men's tennis and women's tennis. Are there differences between men's curling and women's curling just in terms of how it comes out?
I don't think so. I've always curled co-ed and lawn bowled co-ed. It's the strategy. It's like physical chess. It's marvelous to run a shot in lawn bowling, and that means knocking a stone out and curling. It's an ever-unfolding strategy, which is the compelling part about it. So I have to agree with your curlers you've had on.
All right. Thank you very much. Happy curling.
You know, Brian, I would add there that I love the lawn bowlers, and we get a lot of comparisons to lawn bowling or shuffleboard, but curling is its own animal, I might add. And at the high-performance level, the women and the men play a slightly different style of play, mainly because the men can throw what we call bigger weight, throw it harder at times, so that does dictate a slightly different style of game.
Teresa in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Teresa.
Tabitha, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've watched curling sort of sporadically several times, but it's always sort of inexplicable to me. I still can't quite understand what they're doing with the little brooms in front of the stone. Is that clearing ice away? Does that make it go faster?
Dean or Jeff?
Yeah, I can tell you.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, the brooms on, you know, the simple part is, yeah, it is cleaning the debris out in front of the rock so that it runs true, but it'll also extend the running time of the rock. In other words, it won't make it go any faster. The rock is decelerating all the time while it's moving. However, it'll decrease that rate of deceleration so that maybe it'll travel a few extra feet more than it would have traveled had they not been sweeping it. And keeps it a little bit straighter, too. It sort of reduces the friction a little bit in front of the rock.
Dean, what are the brooms made of?
Well, we used to, you know, in the early brooms were actually corn, and you would have seen guys wielding corn brooms, you know, pounding the ice with those. Now we use we call them brushes now, and it's a Cordura nylon pad on the bottom of most brushes. You will see some teams from time to time, including in the Olympics, break out one that has hog hair or horse hair on the brush head as well. So there's two different kinds of brushes.
Everything you always wanted to know about curling for just another couple of minutes with Dean Gemmel, president of the Plainfield Curling Club in New Jersey and host of the Curling Show podcast, and Jeff Lisak, president of the Ardsley Curling Club in Westchester and Thaddeus in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, yo. Shout out from Washington Heights.
Yay.
Listen, I'm fascinated by the vocabulary, the stone and the house and the button and the... What was the word in the front page of the New York Times today? The whizzle-wazzle?
Kizzle-kazzle. Kizzle-kazzle. Dean, what's kizzle-kazzle?
Well, I got to say, that was not the best research done there. I think, you know, we really don't... that's not really a word you'd hear nowadays. So I'll have to call out Eric Dash a little bit. He must have got something off of Wikipedia. But kizzle-kazzle, we don't really throw a wobbly stone to compensate for slush on the ice. You won't see anybody playing with slush on the ice. Probably from when the game was played on lakes in Scotland. So that's not one that's in the lexicon, but there's plenty of good current curling terminology to learn when you get into the game.
So what do you call it when you tank completely, when you throw an air ball or whatever you call it?
Flash is a good one.
Flash is
usually what you call when you try a takeout and you miss everything. We call that a flash.
Oh, good. Well, hi to Vicky Schumacher, too.
All right, whoever that is.
And, yeah, I don't know.
How about some other curling terms? Do you have any other favorite curling terms, either of you?
Oh, bondspiel is the best. You tell people that you're going off for the weekend on a bondspiel, and they look at you like you have three eyes, and curling competition is referred to as a bondspiel.
That's a tournament, yeah. I mean, and then we've got, you know, there's a lot of different names. The center of the house is called the button, but you'll hear a lot of references to that as the lid or the can or covering the pin, which is the little screw that's right in there that you use to measure. The house, of course, is the targets that you're aiming at. Hacks are what you slide out of, and the hog line is the line you have to release it by and get your stone beyond at the other end to be in play. So,
and we're just about out of time, so do you want to handicap these finals? Anybody you're rooting for or picking in the women's curling final tonight or the men's tomorrow, Jeff?
I couldn't tell you. The teams are all evenly matched. I expect to see some unbelievable curling. They really are clutch.
Well, I like Canada in both games. I know people in the Canadian team, so I've got some friendships there, so I'd like to see them do it. And Canada, of course, is the country that's really perfected curling, I think, so it means probably the most to them to win gold.
Yeah, nobody will get rich betting against Canada.
Dean Gemmel and Jeff Lisak, we stand educated now about curling. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we conclude our two-part series with Mark Vernon, author of Plato's Podcasts. Today we're going to talk about an ancient philosopher who mused on changing your mind. Stay with us.